Hello, everybody, and welcome to Horror Movie Yearbook. My name is Tim Long, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by my fellow co-host, the wonderful, the talented, the lovely one, Mr.
Willie Gibbs.
Willie Gibbs, yeah. Yeah, mine wasn't as long as yours were.
You're such a sweetheart.
I'm not as...
I really appreciate that intro.
I'm not as good as introductions as you are.
No, you're a wonderful introducer. Willie, I feel introduced like the best. The best introduced.
Yeah, short and to the point.
Absolutely.
Concise. How's it going?
Doing okay. You know, not too much going on. Just living life, man.
Yeah,
you
we're know? Almost done with January, right?
We're almost through January, which means February, and then things should start looking up in terms of weather, at least.
Yeah, around here. Yeah.
Yeah. Once we get through February, I feel like things. I mean, you know, every once in a while in March we get dumped on, but it's not too frequent,
so. Right.
Well, I feel good when March 1st hits. Until then...
It gets really muddy around March.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm cool with it. Yeah. It's fine. As long as, you know, it's not brutally cold and snowing, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our new segment where we bitch about the weather.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The place that we choose to live.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well. Willie, we've been up to a couple things.
Yes, yeah. We've been doing more than just this show.
We have been.
Yeah, we've been busy boys. We had an appearance on... The 201st episode of the Midwest Film Nerds podcast.
Yes.
Which is where we started our podcasting journey together.
Yes.
We got together with Nick and Alex, who are our fellow
also lovely, talented.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah. Beautiful individuals. And we talked about a lot of things, mostly movies from 2016. What do we like? What got us excited? What are we looking forward to in 2017?
Yeah.
We also talked about Split.
We did talk a little bit about Split. We did not spoil it, though.
And we will not hear either.
Nope.
No. Check it out, though.
Yeah, check it out.
If you haven't seen it, it's worth it.
Yeah, and it's killing at the box office,
which
is nice to see. Yeah.
Shyamalan's, he's on a roll, man.
Yeah, he seems to be making decent movies again.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think After Earth was a real low point for him, and he had to turn things around.
After Earth, and then he did, or was that the last one?
That was the last one, I think.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was that or the one anime movie he
Airbender?
Did. Last Airbender, yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? He's doing better now, so that's good.
Yeah, he's back in his wheelhouse.
And then I made an appearance on the most recent episode of the Midwest Game Nerds podcast, which just came out today, I believe.
What were you talking about?
Today is actually Tuesday, the 31st.
Oh, okay.
Just so you know. So by the time you hear this, it'll be, you know, we'll have been out for...
It's been out.
A handful of days.
You can find it.
We talked about Resident Evil 7, the game.
Okay.
6 is the movie.
Six.
There's a lot of confusion there.
What's the movie called?
Resident Evil: The Final Chapter.
The Final Chapter. Okay.
Yeah. They like to maintain the tradition of great,
not
franchises.
Tearing up the box office, if I recall.
No, is this out? Is it out?
It's out.
I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the problem is that Resident Evil fans seem to have stayed home and played the game,
which I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talk about Resident Evil 7, which is a lot of fun. I like that my two appearances on the Game Nerds have been both for horror games.
What was the other one?
Until Dawn.
Oh, okay.
Which, if for any of you though, for any of you out there who have not played it, it is amazing, like really, really cool.
Yeah,
it's like it's an interactive horror movie.
Right.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So please check it out. So we can get a sequel at some point. But Resident Evil 7 is great too. So
cool. Yeah. Well, we got the Friday the 13th video game coming out too.
Yep, soon. That's coming up here soon. Horror's big all around. We got a lot of horror TV shows on right now.
We got some casting news. Well, a little bit of movement on Friday the 13th.
Yeah, things are happening,
which is nice.
Things are happening.
Yeah, so it looks like it might actually happen.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally. Yeah. So that's about it. I mean, you know, lots of podcasting.
Lots good
of podcasting. Yeah.
Yeah. Check them out.
Yep.
Willie, you also have some feedback for us.
I do, yeah. And let's not forget, you can be featured on this podcast if you just send us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Things you like, things you don't like,
right.
Things you want to hear about, things you don't want to hear about. segment ideas.
If you want to take the time to put together a list of things you don't want to hear about.
That you never want us to talk about.
Yeah, we will air your grievances.
Absolutely.
Live.
We will do it. So you can reach us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We are on Twitter at @HMYearbook. And then finally, you can email us at horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. We pose the question, as we do every episode, what was your favorite film from the year that we're covering? This week, of course, is 1998. So we posed that question on Facebook and on Twitter. And okay. We got some good responses. My dad, who's always responding, I always appreciate it. John Carpenter's Vampires.
And what's nice is he's always dead serious about it.
Oh, too. He is. Yeah. He's not joking around.
No.
No, that's the one.
That's the one.
And I think it's awesome.
Me too.
You know what? You know what's great is that crew in that movie that hunt vampires.
Yeah.
Like, I can see my dad hanging with those guys.
I was just going to say, that seems, knowing, remembering some of the movies he's picked in the past.
Yeah.
And knowing your dad a little bit.
Yep.
That seems like a movie.
Totally. Yeah it's up his alley. And then Brandy on Facebook said The Faculty, which we will be talking about tonight.
Good.
Paul said Prophecy 2.
Oh, boy.
I like that.
Is Chris Walken in Prophecy 2?
He is. Okay. He's in the first three. And then they did two direct-to-video things with Carrie Wuerr.
Carrie Wuerr?
Yes.
Oh, I had a thing for Carrie Wuerr.
She's like the queen of direct-to-video horror.
Yo, I know.
So Prophecy 2 was Christopher Walken. I have not watched the Prophecy movies in a long time. I remember seeing the first one and thinking it was pretty cool. I think I've seen 2 and 3 as well, but I don't recall. I could be wrong. I'll have to rewatch those. Thank you, Paul, for that. That's actually kind of fun. Steve said, "You've got mail." Steve was joking.
Yeah,
I think.
And you know, I'm going to go along with this, and I'm someone who is a fan of Sleepless in Seattle.
Sure.
I quite like it. You've Got Mail is pretty bad.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen Sleepless in Seattle. It was good. And then Matt from The Obsessive Viewer, another great show you can check out.
Yes.
He says he loves The Faculty and H2O. H2O was actually his introduction to the series, which is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. You don't ever... It's funny because with a franchise like a Nightmare or a Friday franchise, I feel like very rarely are the first ones the introduction to the series. I feel like with Halloween, it's almost always the first.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I definitely seen the first one first.
Yeah. But it's cool, though. I mean,
I remember H2O being one of the first sequels I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an early one for me, too.
Because I had to hunt them down at video stores at a certain point.
Yep. He said Faculty was a blast. We agree, and we'll talk more about that later. Also a big fan of Urban Legend in 98. Rewatched a few years ago, and it was too much of a Scream ripoff to enjoy. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't completely disagree, but we'll talk about that, too.
I guess we'll discuss it, won't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's our feedback for this episode. Once again, please feel free to submit any sort of anything, really. You can talk trash about us, too. It's fine.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer you don't.
Do it, though. I kind of want to
see it. That's battle.
As long as it's good.
That's battle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want
make
no trash.
Make it like well thought out, you know, like solid trash talk.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it.
Right.
Tim.
Yo.
I think it's time that we hop in our time machine.
Okay.
You got a sound effect for us? That's a classic. That's like my alarm in the morning.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to bring my dog back downstairs.
I know. Here she comes. We are back in 1998.
Okay.
What were you doing in 98?
I've been 14 years old.
You're 14? Yep.
Can I tell you what I remember from 98? This is a sad memory.
Okay.
But I remember because I looked at the movies released in 1998. I was watching Sphere at a movie theater.
Oh,
I was doing a lot of... I was doing a lot of...
Is that Levinson? That's Barry Levinson, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
Sphere is awful.
Yeah. Doesn't Queen Latifah get eaten by octopuses or something?
I saw it when I was 14 in a theater. I vaguely remember it.
I'm going to rewatch it.
I'm sure that probably does happen. But here, I may not have seen the whole thing because what I was doing around this time was doing the old buy a ticket to one movie and then just bounce around the movie.
Yeah.
I did that a lot. Like I bought a ticket to The Pallbearer starring David Schwimmer. That was one. I remember seeing G.I. Jane. I almost got kicked out of G.I. Jane.
Wow.
I was a little lot of rapscallions.
A little rowdy.
Days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, "What's this lady doing? Push-ups for?" And someone in the theater is like, "Can you shut those kids up?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually enjoying
this. Because
we're
being dumbasses. Yeah.
That's funny.
I don't blame them. I kind of feel bad about that. Holy crap. Sphere is 2 hours and 15 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. No. And you feel every minute.
So there's no way I stuck around for this whole movie. I probably jumped over to The Pallbearer at some time. What was the other David Schwimmer movie that came out in 1998?
I don't know. Was it 6 Days and 7 Nights?
No. Oh, my gosh. David Schwimmer movies. This ought to bring up some good ones. Kissing a Fool.
Kissing a Fool.
Do you remember Kissing a Fool? It had Jason Lee in it.
Jenna Elfman? Wasn't she
No,
the...
that's...
Oh, I'm thinking of...
you're thinking of one I actually like.
Yeah, the one that Edward Norton directed.
Oh, my God. It has Carrie Wuerr in it.
Wow. It all comes back to Carrie Wuerr.
It all comes... Yeah, Bonnie Hutt, Vanessa Angel. Ooh, from the USA show.
Yeah.
Weird science. Yeah.
I liked her.
Yeah, 98 was a good year. How about you, Willie? Do you remember?
I was 12. I was playing a lot of PlayStation.
Okay.
Like a lot. I was playing a lot of Resident Evil, funny enough, I'm sure, at this point. I think this was when Resident Evil 2 came out, and I was, like, obsessed.
Was it 64 out in 98? Yeah, it was.
Yes, it
right?
was. Yep. Okay. Yep, that was that generation. I was watching a lot of WB at this point in time.
Okay.
Which has a lot to do with the movies we're talking about today, so.
It has a lot.
and I think that was about it. Listening to a little Slipknot, maybe?
This seems about around that time I was into, pro
no,
wrestling.
No, maybe it was a year or two late. I don't know. I can't remember.
I was watching a lot of pro wrestling around.
Me too. Yep.
This is what was good. Is that a peak for both WCW and WWF?
Was 98 the year of the... My favorite wrestling storyline during this time period was the... it actually has a horror tinge to it, so I don't feel bad talking about it. The Ministry of Darkness, led by The Undertaker.
Yeah, that was more 99.
Okay, that was my absolute peak.
Okay.
So I think I was revving up at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
This is when, like, Stone Cold was catching fire. This is a lot of Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon, the evil owner stuff. A lot of...
drove a Zamboni around.
A lot of
around.
Beer drinking. Yeah. Nasty.
A lot of hell raising. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Good stuff.
I remember I got really into it one time because my dad was flipping around the channels and he stopped because Stone Cold had his pickup truck and he drove it in the arena and he was just blasting AC/DC and
That's
drinking
awesome.
Beer. My dad stopped. He's like, I gotta watch this. I assume he just immediately threw his television out the window too.
Yeah.
Because he was just so jacked up.
Oh, how would you not be?
Yeah, if you watch Stone Cold and you don't get jacked up,
you need to seek a professional.
Yeah.
So that's what we were doing in 98. What was going on in the world? Let's start with the world's biggest airport opening in Hong Kong.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Absolutely. The Good Friday Peace Agreements were accepted by the, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing this, Sinn Féin, the leader of the political wing of the Republican IRA.
Okay.
So, I mean, there are still some issues and resentment and whatnot. But at this point in time, that was like the biggest step towards peace that conflict had seen.
Right.
Let's see here. Here's a good one for you. Free Willy star Keiki. Or Kiki.
The whale. Uh-huh.
Is sent to Iceland for eventual release.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Willy was indeed freed.
there is no follow-up on that, right?
No.
Willy wasn't horribly eaten.
No, Kiki was released. That's all we know.
Or Kiki, not Willy.
Or Kiki. Do you know what the ruble is?
Mm.
It's a currency. The ruble lost 70% of its value against the U.S. dollar.
To eat it.
In 6 months' time.
Suck it.
And the ruble is actually a Russian currency. I'm just
Good. Good. Deal with that.
That's why I thought you would like this. several of the largest Russian banks collapsed, and millions of people lost their savings.
Oh, my God. These are glory days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Two boys, Mitchell Johnson, 13 years old, and Andrew Golden, 11 years old, shoot and kill four fellow students in Jonesboro. Remember Jonesboro?
Mm-hmm. No. I do remember that now.
It was all
It's
over.
Kind of a forgotten one, yeah.
It is, yeah. What year was Columbine? Was the Columbine Massacre? Do you recall?
I thought Columbine was 99.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, because we talked about it on the podcast, yep.
Yeah, so, interesting. It's interesting that people almost forget about this one, and it was kind of a predecessor to
right.
it. Right. Yeah. Exxon and Mobil merge in 98 to create the world's largest petroleum company.
Oh, well, yeah, that's good for Russia.
And their bid to take over the world, so that's good. Microsoft becomes the biggest company in the world.
I had Windows. Windows 98 was around this.
That was
time,
the big
right?
one, man.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it was released on June 26th of 1998.
Windows 95 is the one where the Friends cast taught you how to use it.
Yeah, they would teach you how to use it. Because Windows 95 was the first big Windows release. Like, everybody was like, oh my God, this is cutting edge stuff.
Do you
care to guess how much Microsoft was valued at?
No, I can't do it. I'm not good at that.
$261 billion.
Okay.
That's a lot of money. While you look up the Friends Windows 95 commercial.
No, I was looking to make sure because Buddy Holly was also included on the Windows, the Weezer. Video was on the Windows 95.
Yep. I remember that.
CD. Yep.
Wow. I'm getting, it's like throwback for me.
Mm-hmm.
E-commerce, which is a day-to-day thing for most people now, kind of started to take off in 98. This is the year when a lot of major companies started to kind of decide to take their presence onto the internet with their own websites where you could go on and buy things and they would ship it to you or you could pick it up in the store. This is unheard of at the time.
Right.
Now, it's all I do. That's quite pretty much. I rarely go to a store by myself, which I feel a little bad about sometimes, but I still support my local comic book shop.
Yeah, me too.
Yep, I still do that. And I do occasionally go out and buy a Blu-ray from a store just because I want physical media to stick around.
Yeah, me too.
But generally, I do stuff.
I usually do it online.
Generally, I do.
And if I could have a drone deliver to me, all the
I'd better. Probably do that too. Yeah. Google was founded in 98.
Yeah, I remember around this because it was a lot. I use a lot of Lycos and AltaVista.
AltaVista. S. Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. I never used Ask Jeeves.
I did.
Did you?
He's a cool little guy. Snazzy little butler.
Well, Lycos had the dog.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yahoo was around at this point, too.
Yahoo was kind of the big one before.
They were the big one. Yeah. And finally, the FDA approves Viagra as a treatment for male impotence.
Thank God. Becoming
the first pill approved to treat this condition.
And,
in the US.
Yeah.
And it's still treating today.
And advertise and golf would never have to worry about selling another advertisement again because that is all you see if you watch golf. Do you remember Excite, the search engine?
I do, yeah. Now, 98, if I recall, had something else to do with a gentleman who had no issue with impotence.
I was wondering when you were getting to this one.
Yeah, I like that transition.
Yeah, that was really good.
One Mr. President.
One Mr. We're back in Bill's time.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, his second term right now.
Mm-hmm.
Was this when he was impeached?
I believe 98 was the year.
Yeah, this is when the allegations came out.
Yep.
With Monica.
I did not have sexual relations with that one.
When he flat out lied.
Yep.
But then totally went, like, I didn't lie about that. Like, define relations.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you've ever actually, like, looked into some of the stuff that took place in that Oval Office. But it's pretty horrific stuff. I'm not going to even say it on this podcast.
It's filthy. Do you remember the Star Report is what it was?
The cigar. Remember the cigar?
Yeah. Do you remember? The Star Report was huge.
Yeah.
And, like, people were reading it like it was some sort of, like, Harlequin
novel. It was like
50
Shades of Grey. Yeah. 50 Shades of Clinton. Yeah.
Well, we gave him a second term.
Yeah.
And Bill, he is self-control maybe is not his strong suit.
No.
And especially when he has no reason to worry about not getting reelected. Like, he's like, I have no responsibility right now.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Like,
and you know what my favorite part of that whole thing that came out was that Yasser Arafat was, like, hanging out, like, waiting in, like, the waiting room to, like, meet with him while he was getting a Hummer. Like, that's funny to me.
That was when Hummer entered the lexicon as a term for blowjob.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That was something. It really started taking off.
Did he call it a Hummer?
I believe so.
I believe he did, too. Yes. What an Arkansas thing to do.
It's perfect, man. Oh, Slick Willie.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so that's what I got for 98.
Yeah.
We should, that's real quick, let's go through the, I like to do songs and movies.
Yeah, this is a fun year for that, too.
So let's go to the top 10 singles. Number 10, I Don't Wanna Wait by Paula Cole.
No.
Which, of course, was the theme song, too.
Yep.
Dawson's Creek. Number 9, Nice and Slow by Usher.
Oh.
Star of the Faculty.
Yes. Our intern, one Mr. Greg Long, huge Usher fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 8, Candle in the Wind 97 by Elton John.
That's right. Okay, I have a funny Candle in the Wind story real quick.
Sure, that's
it. I was up in northern Michigan, and this guy called in, and Dale Earnhardt had just died. Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Yes.
And he goes, man, I was just thinking about it. Can you go ahead and play Candle in the Wind by Elton John for Dale Earnhardt? And, like, I kept sitting there going, like, first of all, whoa. And, like, second of all, Dale Earnhardt would not want this song.
He'd probably want AC/DC.
I would assume so. I don't know Dale Earnhardt's musical taste. My guess would probably be they don't run towards Elton John.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 7, All My Life by Casey and JoJo.
No. Yeah.
One of the great school dance songs.
It's a good song.
Yeah, yeah. I think you and I got really, really drunk one night and then, like, karaoke'd in my living room.
That was one of the songs, and so there was a Boys to Men song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Till the End of the Road.
There's videotape floating somewhere.
It exists. Yeah, if you want to see that released, sorry. Together Again by Janet.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes.
Ooh, I hate that song. Was that on Con Air?
It is the final, like, it's like the song that takes you to the closing. Yeah. Truly Madly Deeply by Savage Garden.
Excellent rappers, if I recall.
Oh, yes, excellent. You're Still the One by Shania Twain was number three.
Oof, I hate that song.
It's not very good. Number two, The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica.
Oh, I like that song.
Good stuff. And number one was Too Close by Next.
Oh, a classic.
I don't know that song.
Baby, when we're grinding, I get so
excited. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. That was number one.
Yeah. Well, that song is filthy.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have expected that to be number one. I knew that was a hit, but...
That's number one.
Yeah. There are numerous boner references.
You think Bill had it on while he was...
I think.
All right, let's go through the top movies real quick. Number 10, Lethal Weapon 4.
Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah. I kind of like Lethal Weapon 4.
It's funny. They fight a guy with a blowtorch, or like a flamethrower in the beginning.
It's kind of racist, too.
It's super racist, yeah. Number 9, Shakespeare in Love, which tore it up at the Academy Awards.
Get one.
Dr. Doolittle was number 8.
I loved Dr. Doolittle.
Number 7, Mulan.
I didn't see Mulan until like a couple months ago.
Can I confess something?
You've never seen it, have you?
I've never seen Mulan.
It's just, it's all right.
Okay. I know the songs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's it. Number 6, Deep Impact.
Okay, good.
AKA The Poor Man's Armageddon.
I was going to say, I think I know what number one is.
Number 5, A Bug's Life. Number 4, There's Something About Mary. Number 3, Godzilla, Roland Emmerich.
No way.
Number 3 at the box office, $379 million.
You know who's really funny? There's Something About Mary. It's Keith David.
Oh, yeah. How'd you get the beans with Frank? He's so good. Number 2, Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
And number 1, Armageddon.
Armageddon. Yep.
Yep. One of the greats.
I saw that a couple times at the theater.
One of the greats. Big years for both Disney and for Fox. They did quite well. So
yeah. Disney. I cannot believe Godzilla was number 3.
Isn't that amazing?
Great soundtrack, though.
Yeah, they had that...
They had the P. Diddy, Puff Diddy, Jimmy Page song where I want to fight you. I'll flip and bite you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Where he raps as Godzilla. Yeah, it's really good.
He was not a good rapper. Puff Daddy was not. He's a good hype man, if I recall.
Yeah, he's a good salesman, too.
Good salesman, but not a good rapper.
No, no.
And I had one of his albums.
That's all right. He's done well for himself.
And the Godzilla soundtrack.
Let's jump to our first movie today.
You want to talk about horror movies?
Let's do it.
All right.
Urban Legend. Okay, yes. Directed by Jamie Blanks, who we're both fans of.
We both like Jamie Blanks.
Yep, quite a bit. The IMDb synopsis for Urban Legend is, a college student suspects a series of bizarre deaths are connected to certain urban legends. All right.
Is that it?
Fair enough. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's talk Urban Legend. So I think we should preface this whole series of films by mentioning the fact that this is post-Scream.
Yes.
Okay. And all of these movies that we're talking about tonight are similar in certain ways because they are all definitely... These movies were made because of Scream's success. I'm not saying they were written because of Scream's success, but they were made.
I was going to say, they seem to be... A couple of them at least seem to be existing scripts that were kicking around, and then Scream hit, and they're like, let's make these ones.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let that be understood. Secondly, 90% of these movies are going to star somebody from a WB show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's an important thing. And we can talk more about that.
I wish we still had, like, I wish you could see CW stars.
Yeah, why aren't they doing movies?
Horror movies.
You know, they tried to keep it going when they had the Supernatural Bros do My Bloody Valentine and
Friday the 13th.
But it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, but they were older, too.
Yeah.
Like, these
they weren't hip young teens.
Yeah, these are young kids.
Yeah, they couldn't be playing high schoolers. Tim, Urban Legend.
Yeah.
Did you see it back when it first came out?
I saw it on video.
Okay.
Me too. I believe actual video, like VHS.
What did you think at the time?
I remember thinking it was decent.
Okay.
Like, I remember, like, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, I thought it was cool. I mean, it was obviously, I was really into Scream at the time, even the sequels.
Sure.
Yep. At the time, so I was like, this isn't as good as Scream, but it was pretty cool.
Because Scream 2 came out in 97.
I think so, yeah, yep. Yeah. Yep. What was Scream 1, 96?
95, I think.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I remember like, because it had a weird release, too, where it got re-released and stuff, too.
Yeah.
And then Scream 3 took a couple years to come out.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I remember thinking I liked it, but it wasn't, like, up there.
Sure.
But I think it was kind of fun.
What'd you think this time?
I've seen it a couple times since then.
Okay.
So, I think I've seen it too many times now.
Okay.
Because it's fun. It's got a great hook.
Yeah.
The slasher, I mean, let's break down the slasher a little bit.
Sure.
Because he's got a cool hook.
It's got
not a hook in the sense of, I know what you did last summer.
Not like a weapon.
No.
like a hook, like he's got a gimmick.
He's got a gimmick. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it's a fun one.
Which is, of course, taking urban legends, ones that at least a handful you've heard at some point in your life, I'm sure.
Some of these really stretch.
There's a couple that I've like. I'm like, no one ever. That's not an urban legend. But like the hanging boyfriend that I remember hearing that before I saw this movie.
Yep. What's your favorite kill in this movie?
My favorite kill in this movie. Oh man.
Mine is the Michael Rosenbaum. He kills with the
with Drano.
He pours it down his.
Which
skull.
Is so brutal. Like that's what a horrible way to go out. The dog.
Oh yeah.
The microwave. Yeah. This is so mean.
You know what else? The other one. So this is back to your original question. Sure. What I realized this time while watching it is the one that scares me as an adult now, or like freaks me out as an adult now, is the one in the parking garage where he runs over the guy on the spikes. Because I hate those spikes in parking garages.
Yeah, they're freaky.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm always afraid like I'm going to back out over it. Or
yeah, hit it and totally wreck your... Yeah.
Yep. So, it's still fun. It's still got a great hook. The slasher itself... Here's what I noticed about this time. First of all, his outfit is stupid.
Yeah, it's just a parka, right?
Her outfit, I should say, is stupid.
Yeah.
It's a parka, and do you know why it's a parka?
Well, it was the movie originally...
It was set in winter.
Set in the winter, and they never changed it, right?
They never changed it. They just kept the
They didn't
parka.
Bother to change it. Yeah, they could have gotten a little more creative with a mask or something.
Yeah.
Although then again, the sequel came around, and it was like a fencing
mask.
It
was a fencing mask, right?
Which is, I guess, better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there's that. But... Cool kills, paced pretty well.
Yeah.
Decent
performances all around.
What's funny is, decent performances, I would say. Fun young cast.
Rosenbaum's a lot of fun. Joshua Jackson's having a good time.
The self-referential stuff in this is kind of very much like Scream and like The Faculty. And I think Disturbing Behavior, if I recall. There's a lot of self-referential.
Yeah, for sure.
This one's done pretty well. I think it's kind of clever a lot of the time. I like that Freddy and Chucky... are in the same movie, as in Robert Englund and, Brad Dourif.
Brad Dourif. And we should mention Danielle Harris is in this, too.
Danielle
it's
Harris
has got a lot of
this.
Horror movie royalty.
She is unrecognizable in this movie.
I always forget it's her.
Yeah.
I remember the goth girl. That's a pretty creepy sequence, actually.
Yes.
When she's being killed. I think there's something really scary about that. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that the girl's, like, right there the whole time. That's very creepy to me.
Yep.
That one was the most effective to me this time, I think. Not my favorite, because it's kind of... unnerving, but
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff in this, but because it's like a Scream movie, and it really loses me at the end when the killer is revealed.
Yeah,
because her breathless explanation at the end is so long.
It goes on, and you know, I like the actress,
Rebecca Gayhart.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah,
but the thing is. She takes it to this level where she just kind of screeches at the lead character.
Screeches, and Alicia Witt, bless her heart, is very boring.
Yeah, and it's not all her fault.
No.
The character's not exactly all that interesting either.
Right.
Like, in terms of, like, Scream, like Final Girls, she's really not exciting to...
No.
Yeah. She's kind of an asshole, too.
That's what I thought, too.
They all kind of are.
Yeah.
There's not many likable characters in this. They're all kind of arrogant. And like, even, like, the romantic lead is Jared Leto. His character's a total dick,
right.
I think.
And this is interesting to me because, the main characters, the other two movies are very much about kids rebelling against older folks and maybe societal norms.
The establishment,
the cool kids.
They're about misfits, too. They're about kids that are kind of on the outskirts of what's considered normal. Or
right. They focus on the misfits.
Yeah.
This one, and it's kind of in a slasher tradition. It's like an ode to conformity.
Yeah.
It's like all of the cool, interesting characters in this movie get killed.
Yeah.
Horribly. Michael Rosenbaum's a lot of fun. Tara Reid.
Yep.
Is cool.
Shirtless DJ.
Is cool. The goth girl is cool.
The dog's cool.
Yeah. So it's basically, it's this weird thing where it's like, and it's totally in the slasher tradition too. Because slashers can be a very, for lack of a better word, conservative. Mm. Subgenre, I think, in a lot of ways, with the whole, like, don't do drugs, don't have sex. And I think this is kind of in the same vein as that. But, yeah, her and Jared Leto are so boring in this. And
they don't have a lot of chemistry. Either.
They don't have any chemistry. And but it's really funny, especially around this time when it takes place. And it's kind of what I think, the backdrop of, like, media around this time is funny because it's a lot of like trash TV, like Springer and wrestling.
Yeah.
And like Maury and stuff like that. And South Park is on. So it plays so funny to me that, and it's kind of cool in a way because it's like an 80s slasher set in the '90s.
Sure.
Like dealing.
Which is in some ways a trashier time period.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun. Yeah, overall, it's fun. He's directed a couple movies, Jamie Blanks. Valentine.
Which is very similar to this type of...
Valentine's another slasher. Valentine came out, like, at the end of... It's kind of the end of the cycle. Yeah. I actually like Valentine better.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's got a cooler mask.
Yeah.
And he kills in fun ways. And it's just a lot trashier,
yeah,
too. And it's more fun for me.
Feels more giallo to me, Valentine does, in a weird way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. So, yeah.
Overall, yeah. No, I agree. It's a fun movie. It's a slasher movie. But the thing is, I think the reason to watch it, and I will suggest to watch this to people who haven't seen it, or maybe check it out again.
Right.
The reason why this one, I think, stands above some of the other Scream knockoffs, if you want to call them that, is because of the urban legend gimmick.
Yes.
I think it's fun. It's a neat way because you get some interesting, interesting like kills or whatever, but you get interesting setups and set pieces based around how the killer is going to go about taking out his next victim.
Right.
You know, it's almost like there's almost like a Final Destination quality about it in that way, where it's almost as interesting to watch the lead up to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, how'd you like the Paula Cole song on the radio? That was kind of cute, right?
That was funny.
Yeah.
Was
when clever. Joshua Jackson goes, ew.
Joshua Jackson's hair in this.
It's great.
It's absurd.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. He's pretty much, there's a lot of nice 90s fashion. Like when you're in the moment, like now when we look back on this, but when you're in the moment, you don't really notice how silly fashion is at the time you're in it. But now, like when I look back at it, I'm like, it was pretty silly.
That's not good.
It's pretty silly.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
And actually I should mention, in terms of the WB, linkage going on here, Sarah Michelle Gellar was like ready for the Tara Reid role.
Yep.
Like it was going to happen. And then I think Buffy kind of got in the way of it.
Yep, I saw the exact same thing.
Yeah, which is kind of funny.
She was in the first, I know, the last summer, right?
She's in the first, and she's also in Scream 2.
She's the sorority girl in Scream 2, mm-hmm. isn't she? Yeah.
Yep.
So
that's interesting. and then some other kind of actresses of that era that were big at the time. Jodie Lynn O'Keefe, who is in H2O.
Okay.
Was up for a role in this, and of course she wound up doing H2O the same year. Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, also up for a role in this.
And were then, they all the going to be?
I believe Jodie Lynn O'Keefe was going to be the Tara Reid role. Melissa Joan Hart was going to be the Alicia Witt role. And then Reese Witherspoon was going to be the Alicia Witt role.
Okay.
Another one that was up for it. So kind of fun. The other thing I want to mention is the Latin motto of the university. I don't know if you saw this at all. It's featured on the emblem in some scenes. You can see it in the background. It translates to "the best friend did it." And I love that. Like, I love that. Do you think there was that one person in the audience who knew Latin and was, like, reading it? Oh, damn it. Like, thanks a lot.
There are a lot of fun in jokes. Because Jamie Blanks is from Melbourne, Australia. Mm-hmm. And this college town is in Melbourne, New Hampshire,
yeah.
which is made up.
It's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also a Freddy doll of some sort in Robert Englund's character, the professor that he plays, mm-hmm. in his room.
Okay.
Somewhere. Yeah, I didn't notice it this time around, but there's a Freddy doll somewhere in there. That's kind of cute. So he knew. I mean, there's some wink, wink, nudge, nudge going on here.
Yeah.
And it's a little less in your face, maybe, than like the Scream movies. Because the Scream movies, put it right out there. Sometimes for better in the case of Scream 1, sometimes for worse in the case of like Scream 3. but they throw it all out there. This one's a little more subtle with its references.
Yeah.
You know? But I
wasn't really too annoyed.
No.
By any of them.
No.
And I can be a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All in all, it's a perfectly fun 90s slasher. I think it's better than a lot of the stuff from this era.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's certainly not as good as the cream of the crop, which would be Scream. But it's fun. It's worth watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? Before we move on to our next film, I'd like to play a little game.
Okay.
I want to play a little 6 Degrees of Vanderbeek.
Okay.
Because most of these movies from this era... feature a character or an actor or somebody from either Dawson's Creek or another WB show. I want to see if you can link some of these movies back to Vanderbeek.
Okay.
See what you can do. Let's kick things off with Cruel Intentions.
Okay.
How do you link Cruel Intentions to Vanderbeek?
Who is in Cruel Intentions? Let's see here. Cruel Intentions has Ryan Phillippe.
It does.
Is that how I can link it back?
I... It, Cruel Intentions has another actor that's very, very, very much, much closer to Vanderbeek.
Okay. Well, it has Sarah Michelle Gellar in it.
True.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar was on Buffy, which was on WB, which was also on...
It was on the same network.
It was that same network as Dawson's Creek.
Sure, I would take that.
So is that what we're going for?
I would take that. That's fine. That works for me. If you can link it back to the WB, I'm okay with that, too.
Okay.
But I was actually thinking Joshua Jackson is in Cruel Intentions.
Oh, is he?
He plays a homosexual character.
It's been so long since I've seen it. Okay.
Yeah, he's great. Halloween H2O. How do you link that?
Oh, wait. I didn't even link it back to the... You should not have accepted that.
That's fine.
Halloween H2O. It has Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
I'm
sure there's people listening that are like screaming right now.
Right. Big Vanderbeek fans.
Yeah, of course. Vanderbeek himself, maybe. Who knows?
I'm just not familiar with the career of...
I think it's more important to think about who's in H2O.
Halloween H2O. Oh, Michelle Williams is in H2O.
Absolutely.
Yep, and she was also in Dawson's Creek.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Disturbing Behavior. This one's easy.
Yeah, Katie Holmes.
Okay. Scream, the first.
Scream, the first one.
Yes.
Who are some of the... Well, Neve Campbell is in it. She was in Party of Five, but that was not related. David Arquette, Courtney Cox. Skeet Ulrich.
I haven't actually tried some of these myself. Should I try a couple?
Matthew Lillard. Yeah, you do this one.
All right, Scream. We've got... I think we should kick things off in Scream with Neve Campbell, who's mm-hmm. a Party in Five with Jennifer Love Hewitt, who was in I Know What You Did Last Summer with Sarah Michelle Gellar,
mm-hmm.
who was in Scream 2 with Joshua Jackson, who was on Dawson's Creek.
I forgot Joshua Jackson was in Scream
2. He's the great equalizer.
Yeah. He was in a lot of these movies.
Honestly, I think he's the uncrowned king of this
he's
era.
He's the Scream king.
I Know What You Did Last Summer. That one's easy.
Uh-huh.
Because you can just go Sarah Michelle Gellar to follow that chain. Valentine. Got one for Valentine?
Well, David Boreanaz was in Valentine. Sarah Michelle Gellar was in Scream 2 with Josh Jackson.
That's good.
We got to get back to Josh Jackson.
That's the goal. Yeah. You know, what's interesting, too, is that Katherine Heigl has a very early role in Valentine. And, of course, she was the star of TV's Roswell.
She's also a Bride of Chucky, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. Can we do Urban Legend? Can you get Urban Legend back to... I mean, there's a WB star in Urban Legend.
Well, Josh Jackson's in it. Let's see if we could do something.
Yeah, Josh Jackson's in it. How about Rosenbaum? Try Rosenbaum.
Oh, Michael.
Because he was on Smallville.
Smallville with Tom Welling.
Okay.
Clenching his jaw constantly.
Yeah.
There is no... God. I was going to say Kristen Crook was also on Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to try to work it back to... Because she was in Street Fighter 2.
Oh,
Street
boy.
Fighter with Legends of Chun-Li with Chris Klein.
Wait, hold on. Who was in American Pie with Tara Reid? Who was in Urban Legend with Joshua Jackson? Got it. I was going to say The Skulls, but that's got Joshua Jackson in it as the lead. He's in literally all of these movies.
I'm just
now realizing this.
Yeah, because I forget about his cameos in like Scream 2.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
How about Joyride with Paul Walker? This one's a little trickier, I think. No, it's not. Damn it.
Are they in a movie with Joshua?
Paul Walker's in The Skulls with Joshua Jackson. Wow. This is way easier than I thought it would be. How about Gossip? You remember the movie Gossip?
Oh, God, I do. Okay, let me see.
Actually kind of a fun movie.
Let me see Gossip. When did that come out?
99 or 98? No, it wasn't 98. I don't know. It was around this time.
Oh, Jimmy Morrison's in that.
There you go.
Oh, holy shit. I'm not joking.
Is Joshua Jackson in
Joshua Jackson's a Gossip.
I can't play this game anymore. I'm terrified right now.
You just the his IMDb picture just smiling back at me.
Is he stalking? I feel like he's stalking us. This is incredible. I'm glad we made this revelation. All right, I'm good. I was going to do some Teaching Mrs. Tingle, but that's Katie Holmes, Joshua Jackson. There's too many ways to link Joshua Jackson clearly to this. And for that, we thank you, Joshua Jackson. Real quick, one of them I wrote down.
I like Joshua Jackson.
I do too. Yeah. Real quick, one of the ones I wanted to mention to you, a forgotten kind of horror thriller of this era, The Forsaken. Do you remember that one?
Ugh.
The Vampires? It's really bad.
It's really bad. It's got Devin Sawa, right?
I don't think Devin Sawa's in it, but No. One of the guys from Roswell.
Oh, it's Kerr Smith.
Kerr Smith, yeah. Yep.
And Jonathan Scheck.
Oh, boy. Okay, well,
Joshua Jackson is not in that.
Thank God. He's terrifying. He's in Cursed, too. Can't forget that he's in Cursed. He was in like the last movie of this type. Wow. Okay, anyway, moving on. Let's move on to a movie that does not have Joshua Jackson in it, at least not that I know of.
Which one?
The Faculty.
Okay, he's not in that.
Yeah. No. Let's talk about The Faculty, Tim. The IMDb synopsis for The Faculty says that students suspect that their teachers are aliens after bizarre occurrences.
Right.
That's about right.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to kick things off by saying kind of a little bit of the history of the script of this movie.
Yeah.
And this is pulled from IMDb, so I don't want to take credit for a ton of research here, but it says in 1990, David Wechter and Bruce Kimmel wrote the first draft of the script and sent it out, but there were no buyers. Okay, that was 90. Wasn't until after the success of Scream in 96 that Miramax bought the script and rushed it into production. Bob and Harvey Weinstein, oh, the great Weinsteins, mm-hmm. of course, brought it to Kevin Williamson, who did rewrites, keeping the basic story but rewriting the dialogue and adding new characters to make it more hip. Originally, Williamson was set to direct the film, but chose not to so that he could direct his self-penned script, Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
Yeah.
Starring Katie Holmes.
Which is fun.
Yeah, it is. And then the Weinsteins brought in Rodriguez to direct the film in his stead. I'm a big fan of The Faculty.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right out there and say it. In fact, I'm gonna throw it all out here. I think it's my favorite Robert Rodriguez movie, which is really funny because it's not much of a Robert Rodriguez movie. It's very much a Kevin Williamson movie. I think it's got the style and the panache of Robert Rodriguez, I think. It's got the...
At times, yeah.
There's moments where that shines through, but it's the least Robert Rodriguez in his filmography, I think.
That's fair.
But I love it.
I like it a lot, too. I think I like From Dusk Till Dawn better.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Every time I watch this movie... I get the same feelings I get when I watch, like, The Lost Boys. There's something about this movie, about this young, hip, good-looking ensemble cast that I love so much. And I think that's one of the things that's different about this versus, let's say, Urban Legend, or even later, Disturbing Behavior. Disturbing Behavior has actually kind of a similar vibe about it.
Right.
You know, the conspiracy, kind of a play on, like, an Invasion of the Body Snatchers type situation. But it has a very small cast. There's only a few lead characters. Then on the other hand, you have Urban Legend, which has a big cast, mm-hmm. big ensemble cast, but they're really just there to get picked off one by one. In this one, you actually you get to know each character a little bit.
They all have their strengths.
Yeah,
as characters,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
They're all. I mean, don't get me wrong.
They have their special skills.
They're archetypes. I mean, these characters are no different than like the Breakfast Club. You know
right.
what I mean? Like you've got your nerd, you've got your kind of, you know, on the edge, kind of not goth girl, but like punker girl. You've got your jock and all that stuff, you know? So all those archetypes are there, but these characters actually feel kind of real. And there's moments in this movie and in the script, I'll cite the moment where, Zeke, the Josh Hartnett character, who is so funny to me. He's so awesome. I never knew anybody that hip in high school. I don't think anybody ever knew anybody that hip in high school. Did you see his hair in this movie?
Of course. Yeah.
Is that on purpose?
Yeah, yeah. Josh Hartnett is not the only person who had a haircut like this around the time. I knew it was kind of a cool kid's haircut.
It's weird, right?
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's like he cut all of his hair except for the sides above his ears.
Yeah,
it's
no,
really strange.
I've seen that haircut before.
It's so bizarre. But anyway, there's a moment when the Zeke character is confronted by Famke Janssen's character.
Yes.
Famke. I love her in this movie so much. When she's been taken over by an alien. Parasite, and so she's dressed all to the nines, and she's looking all hot and Famke.
Yeah,
and because she was kind of like a bookworm before, you know, she was kind of like a meek, quiet young lady. She was essentially, this is like her she's all that moment,
right?
Where she's transformed into
uh-huh.
yeah, but she confronts Josh Hartnett, who's really kind of a piece of shit to her, and he puts on that front like he's not being hurt by what she's saying. There's this moment after she leaves where like you can see it in his face, like it kind of fucked him up.
Yeah.
And it's the first time you see him show any sort of level of weakness as a character. Not even weakness, but any sort of like actual like feeling. Like
I was gonna say actually, sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Josh does not emote much in this movie.
No, and that's okay for the character.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. There's that moment where he says something really mean to her earlier on where you can like he has that moment where he like hangs his head down like why was I such a dick to her? She's kind of mm-hmm. nice. So I like stuff like that. I like the Elijah Wood character. He's like Peter Parker in this movie, and I love it. Like he's kind of a nerd. He's a nerdy kid, and yeah, he gets his ball smashed in the flag post. Classic nerd stuff, right? But he also feels like a real kid. Like he's got porno mags under his bed.
Yeah,
he says, you know, shit and fuck and all that stuff. Like he's not like an obnoxiously like pocket protector. You know what I mean? Like,
if I recall, though, the ending where they walk away together, him and Jordana Brewster, is really unearned.
Oh, it's totally unearned. No. It doesn't make any sense. I think they attempted to have some flirtation there. There's a moment in the office where she's like, are you flirting with me or whatever? But it never seems like she actually likes him. She's the one character where I'm not a big fan of her character. She doesn't ever really grow to me. Because even at the end, I always interpret it, it's almost like she's hanging out with him because he's got all this attention from being...
I was going to say, and it's weird because I like Kevin Williamson quite a bit. And he's usually pretty good with lead female characters.
He's not...
Not here.
No. And even the... And I'll say, even the...
He did H2O. Did he do H2O? No. He didn't, did he?
I can't remember. I think he did so.
I think he did a treatment. Okay, sorry.
Even the Stokely character, kind of the punker... goth girl.
Mm-hmm. Clea DuVall.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who I like quite a bit.
Yep.
Even she, it always bones me out at the end because she's got this like pink skirt and dress. I'm like, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, so this is one of his weaker, you're right, kind of portrayals of females, I think. But I'm not saying, like, I think they're still strong characters. Like, I think throughout the entirety of the movie, the Stokely character is a strong character. Like,
yeah.
She's the one person who grabs the gun and starts trying to unload on Jordana Brewster the second she. Like, I like that. Like, good for her. But then at the end there, it kind of betrays it a little bit because it's like, okay, so she's becoming, like, you know what I mean? Like, she's becoming a normie to please.
Yeah.
The jock boyfriend kind of thing. It's very strange.
Oh, Josh Hartnett also wore a lot of sweatshirts. I did this. A lot of sweatshirts underneath the t-shirt.
Oh, I did it all the time.
Way big.
I did it all the time. The long sleeve underneath the short sleeve. Oh, yeah. I loved it.
I still do it.
Sometimes I would wear the... Did you ever wear the collared shirt underneath the t-shirt?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that every once in a while. I'll still wear like a thermal type.
Yeah.
But these were like actual sweaters.
Yes.
Sweatshirts that he was wearing.
Yeah, and they like stretched the t-shirt out. To
God,
like,
this is the coolest cast.
Yeah, they're so hip.
I've ever seen in my life.
I should mention, because we've talked a little bit about WB stars being almost cast in these movies, the Delilah role, the one that Jordana Brewster winds up playing, was written for Charisma Carpenter.
I saw that too. Yep.
It's kind of fun, right?
Yep. But she couldn't do it because it was too similar.
Right. I don't blame her there.
Yeah.
But overall, I just want to say I love this movie. I really do. It manages to stay... super entertaining every time I watch it. I don't watch it a ton, but every time I pop it in, I'm like, yes, the faculty, let's do it. It's just fun. It just moves. I like all like almost every character in this movie. Even the teachers are a lot of fun.
I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, talk about it. When yeah, by all means, please do. But I just think it's a great blend of Scream, with a dash of Body Snatchers, and then a little bit of The Thing. Because there's that cool testing scene that reminds me of the blood test.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Yep.
So, anyway, no, please talk about the teachers.
No, the adults in this movie are having a lot of fun. All of them.
They feel reinvigorated by the young kids that are around, right?
A little bit, yeah. And the pressure is off because they're playing aliens.
Yeah.
So, like, they know. Like, they're not tethered to reality in any way. Robert Patrick's amazing in this. B.B. Newworth is fun in this. Famke. This is an early slight role for Jon Stewart. he gets the pen in the eye is one of my favorite parts of this movie. Yeah. He sticks a pen in his eye. They used to show that on The Daily Show every once in a while. Fun trivia I wanted to mention real quick on this, because I believe The Daily Show was like a big thing in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And I believe that this movie led to the creation, or Jon Stewart being on The Daily Show.
Wow.
Being the host of it. Because The Daily Show was around before. It was Craig Kilborn, if anybody remembers that name.
Yeah.
But this is from a Robert Patrick interview in Fangoria. And he was like, I remember when I was working on the faculty, I was sitting outside smoking a cigarette with Jon Stewart, and we were contemplating our lives. It was during that film that he went to Robert and was like, I'm realizing that I'm not a kid anymore. I got to get it on here. I got to get going with something. And then lo and behold, he's on Comedy Central.
That's beautiful.
So, like, they get on the set as he was on the set of The Faculty.
I like that. I like the idea that Robert Patrick, like, passed wisdom on to him or something.
Right.
Like, he gave him, like, an inspirational speech that he'll never...
Sometimes you just need Robert Patrick there as, like, a shoulder to talking to.
He'll either yell at you to get you to do something, or he'll, like, inspire you to...
Right.
Yeah. One or the other.
No, this is... I remember this movie coming out too. I believe I watched this on VHS as well. These were the cool kids, though.
Yeah.
The faculty was the cool kids.
Yeah.
I mean, this cast was like as cool as the Scream cast to me.
Yeah.
Because Josh Hart, oh my gosh, Josh Hart is so cool. Jordana Brewster.
Yeah.
What's funny, I forgot to bring this up, though. I think most of my female crushes, though, came from Urban Legend.
Interesting.
Around that, like most crushes I
Interesting.
Had. Female crushes. Most of my male crushes came from faculty with Josh Hartnett
for sure.
And Usher.
Yeah.
But this cast is it's so much fun. And you know what? Robert Rodriguez, sometimes his lesser instincts, I think, take advantage of him, if that makes any sense sometimes.
Yeah, no, I get it.
When he's restrained, I'm with you. When a lot of the Robert Rodriguez-ness is turned down quite a bit in this movie.
It is.
He's just kind of making a straightforward.
Yeah, he's adapting a script. He's not, yeah.
And I like that, too. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get into self-parody, really. There are some self-referential stuff. It's a little more annoying than me at times, but
there's moments where they get too far into the body snatchers comparisons. And I'm like, yeah, no, we get it.
Yep. But yeah, no, and it's interesting, this and Disturbing Behavior coming out around the same time in the 90s with kind of the, I mean, kids rebelling against conformity and stuff like that. It's interesting because, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think it's just one of those things. I mean, there were a lot of regulations going in around the time, especially with like what kids should be watching and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So I think maybe that plays in a little bit to it. And as much as Clinton, a lot of his presidency played it right down the middle, too. So I think these two movies can kind of be seen as a rebellion of that. But there's also a lot of mistrust of authority in both of them, too. Yeah. So because that's bigger in the 90s, too, with the X-Files and especially in entertainment and all like that. So but no, it's a lot of fun.
It is.
Harry Knowles. If any, Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News.
His first on-screen role.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wandering around the
background.
It's
distracting.
Yeah, it's
as
weird.
Hell. Yeah, yeah. Especially if you were someone that came up and read a lot of Ain't It Cool and yeah, websites like that in the early Dark Horizons, Chud.
Yeah, the earliest
the Wild West days.
Online film journalism.
Uh-huh.
Did you know this movie was originally called The Feelers?
No. The Faculty is an awesome name.
Yeah. But here's the thing is I think when it was called The Feelers, I feel like that was like that first draft, and I honestly don't. I doubt it had anything to do with teenage kids in high school. I think that was all Kevin Williamson.
Okay.
But I think it's funny, The Feelers. One thing I want to mention, the only thing that bugs me about this movie, and it's always bugged me. So, John Stewart, for example, okay, he's got a parasite in him. He gets stabbed in the eye, he gets his fingers chopped off. At the end credits, you see him, he's got an eye patch, and he's got like a bandage, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean like Bebe Neuwirth is dead? Is she dead? Because she gets shot in the head and dissolved. So it's like she's dead, right?
Well, I can't imagine. Yeah, if your wounds stick with you.
Yeah, so like Famke Janssen's dead, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah, so it's not a happy ending. The happy ending has always kind of bothered me about this in some ways.
Like, there's a lot
of... It's almost too neat. But yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of dead people. Like innocent dead people that were killed by these teenagers. I'm just throwing it out there. Like, I get, like, hey, I don't blame them for doing what they had to do, but.
Right.
Like, yikes. Bebe Neuwirth didn't do anything to anybody. She's like a nice enough lady. Anyway, that always kind of bugged me. Can we talk real quick about the Tommy Hilfiger campaign?
Please, let's.
Yeah. So, there was a bit of a deal struck between Tommy Hilfiger, which was, like, the hotness at the time. Like, that.
Oh, I know.
If you weren't wearing Tommy.
I know. Then, I had a Tommy shirt.
Yeah.
I may have had some jeans, too, because the jeans had a little loop.
Mm-hmm.
On them, and they had the Tommy
flag.
What
was that for? What could that possibly be for?
It's for my hammer. It's like a hammer, like painter's pants. Like you put your hammer.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah, when you're walking around Gaylord High with your
I'm like
hammer.
Old boy.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing up there? Anyway, so in exchange for featuring the clothes in the film, the teens would appear in a TV commercial and then an ad campaign that was in magazines for Tommy Jeans.
I'm watching the TV commercial right now.
That's great. Yeah. It was really hip.
Yeah, of course, Sean Hotosi, isn't it?
Yeah. Sean Hotosi.
Is that Gabriel Union?
I don't know. She wasn't in the faculty.
She wasn't in the faculty, but I think she might be.
In the commercial?
No, it was just someone that I don't recognize from the faculty, probably.
Okay.
Sorry, continue.
But anyway, so I thought that was really funny. It's the most 90s like possible thing.
Josh Hartnett just took his shirt off.
Of course he did.
Yeah, it's a lot of, they're kind of goofing around. About
yeah.
trailers.
Having a good time.
Clea DuVall's like, getting all mad. I'm going back. Josh Hartnett's doing the thing where he puts his hands down his face and goes, ooh. Then he took his shirt off and threw it at the camera because he's kind of a bad boy.
Yeah, he is.
And now they're just goofing around. Usher's finally there.
He showed up.
Yeah. Was that Georgiana Brewster that I just got confused with? So it says, Tommy Jeans, make a scene.
Oh, man.
Is how it ends. So pretty good.
That sounds pretty good all in all. Definitely watch The Faculty if you haven't.
And watch
The Tommy campaign. Yeah. That's good stuff. So we got one more movie to get to, but first I'd like to play one more game.
Okay.
Now, another staple of this type of movie, this kind of late 90s, early 2000s teen thriller horror movie, was the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Had to be the hippest, most cutting-edge bands possible.
Yes.
So, and what's funny is throughout the course, so the 98 soundtracks I looked into were a little more dominated by, like, The Offspring, or, like, I'm trying to think of another example, like,
kind of, it's a lot of those post-grunge bands.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. And then we get into, like kind of that, like, metal, like that metal revival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the new metal revival.
New metal. Yeah. So thank you. So anyway, it's fun to watch it. It's fun to watch these soundtracks evolve with music at the time. But we're going to go through. I'm going to name the song title, and then I'm going to name the band, and I want you to try and guess the movie. Okay?
Yeah, we don't get a lot of soundtracks for horror movies anymore.
No. It seems like. It's a bummer.
But you know, but a lot of them are because of the ghost movies and like the found footage and stuff have been so big the past few years, it would not really fit.
There isn't a soundtrack. Yeah. Into the Void by Nine Inch Nails.
Into the Void by Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that is... I think that's Bride of Chucky.
It is not.
Okay.
Final Destination. Because he has the line about Final Destination.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Did Final Destination come out this year?
No. These are just movies from that era.
No,
I'm opening it up a little bit. Yeah,
okay.
This is not just this year. I'm sorry. I should have made that more clear. I apologize. Blue Monday by Orgy.
Okay. How does it feel? I know this. Can I get a hint?
Yeah, sure. This one is in of the slasher variety.
Okay.
So it's more of a straight slasher. Based on a young adult novel. And we've mentioned it already on the episode, I should say.
I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow, that came out. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought Blue Monday was well after that movie.
Oh, that is based on a young adult.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Which I've read. Push It by Static X.
Push It by Static X. Is that on the Freddy vs. Jason soundtrack?
No, but I think you're in the right territory. This one's more of a horror comedy.
Is this Bride of Chucky?
It is not.
Okay.
Good guess, though. This one is, I believe, directed by Robin Flunder, who's a kind of a cool horror director. Did one of the Leprechaun films.
Mm-hmm.
Stars a very young Jessica Alba.
Oh, Idle Hands.
Yep.
Oh, Idle Hands is cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
What
song was that again?
Push It. Push It by Static X. One of the greats.
I had that song on the Hard and the Heavy 2-disc.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Tongue Tied by Eve Six.
Gosh, that seems like a... Let me just real quick. I want to see what year that came out. Because I only had one Eve Six album.
Okay.
I had the one.
I never listened to any Eve Six.
I was a big fan of one album of theirs. I like this song actually.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like this song. I'm gonna need a hint.
Okay, Helen Mirren's in this movie.
Oh, is this Teaching Miss Tingle?
It is.
Yeah.
All right. I thought I would get you with Helen Mirren, and you'd be like, "What?"
No, not.
Colorblind by Counting Crows.
That is in Cruel Intentions.
Yeah, because
it's the part where he comes down.
Yeah, the escalator. And they do it. Yeah, he looks all sad. He's been crying.
Owned every single Counting Crows CD. I was a huge Counting Crows fan as a kid.
I'm fairly certain I went to a house party and the singer was there.
Adam Duritz.
Yeah.
if I, that's like a thing. I think Adam Duritz will show up to your house party.
I was in Berkeley. I'm not joking.
Was he sad?
He didn't seem like he wanted to be there.
No, he doesn't seem like he wants to be on Earth.
No.
Yeah.
The Dangerous Type by Letters to Cleo.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this song?
I like Letters to Cleo.
She's a lot like you.
Is it a horror movie?
Yeah.
Because they sing
it. Yeah, I mean, it. Yeah.
Don't they sing at the end of 10 Things I Hate About You?
They do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. This one... is getting a kind of remake, kind of sequel soon. Like, it's happening. I know you like this movie.
Hmm.
Classic actor of this era, Skeet Ulrich, is in this film as well.
Chill Factor?
No. I did not include that on the list.
Cursed.
He also has his co-star from Scream, Neve Campbell, in the film with him.
Is it Scream 2?
No.
He's on Scream 2. What is this movie? Why am I not remembering this
The
movie?
Craft.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich is in The Craft.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We'll back this up. They're making a sequel?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. They're doing like the Flatliners thing, like where it's a sequel, but it's like a reboot,
a
like it's
sequel?
A new, yes.
Yeah.
Because like, what's her name? Fairuza Balk is like in it.
Good.
It's awesome.
Good.
She needs to do more anyway.
I do like
super
craft.
Cool. What's this life for?
Is that H2O?
It is. Yeah. Yes. Your first Creed selection. do you like how I didn't even like it? What's this life?
If you were of a certain age, you could attempt to do a Scott Stapp impression.
Thank you.
Anybody can.
Thank you. Not just me, but
it's fun.
I like to do it.
Me too.
how about Hush by Kula Shaker?
Hush. That's I know what you did last summer.
Yep.
And I fucking love that song.
I should say Blue Monday was I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay.
So I apologize. It was
okay.
Later on. But yeah, that song's that cover's awesome.
Yeah, I know it's a really good cover.
And I like the original too, but that cover's so sweet.
I think the cover's better.
Yeah. Don't tell my dad. 'cause I'm 18.
Is that from The Faculty?
Yeah.
Yeah, Class of 99, the super group with
do you know
Tom
who,
Morello.
Do you know who's singing? Who, actually, I just realized that was not Class 99.
It was, oh, no.
It was Creed.
They did a cover of...
For The Faculty?
That's got to be awful.
Oh, man. All right.
God, who is their agent? Good for that.
God. Super Beast, in parentheses, the Porno Holocaust Mix
by Rob Zombie. Yeah, I know that one. yeah, I'm the one that you wanted. Beast.
You mentioned this one earlier.
It's Bride of Chucky.
It is not.
No.
Is no.
It? Okay.
That's Living Dead Girl.
You're right.
Yeah.
That is, it's kind of clever in that, too.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. This one is, you mentioned it earlier. It's a slasher, kind of a straight slasher from this.
Oh, is it Valentine?
It is Valentine.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird choice for that movie. Just got a couple more, okay?
Yeah. I'm
Every Little Thing Counts by Janice Stark.
I don't know. Give me a hint.
It's our last movie we're talking about.
Oh, Disturbing Behavior.
Yeah.
Okay. Every little thing counts.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
This had a good soundtrack.
It does. Really
Disturbing
good.
Behavior.
It might be the best of the three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I forgot Flagpulse it is.
Oh, Flagpulse is so good.
That's a great song.
That's by Harvey Danger, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, last one. I should have saved the Disturbing Behavior one for last. It's a great transition.
Okay, yeah.
But I saved the best for last. What if?
That's from Scream 3.
Yeah. Who does it, Tim?
Creed.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, they were doing
what
well. What if? What if? Right.
We're just going to do the rest of the episode in a Scott Stapp.
This is the
mode.
Scott Stapp. We're going to do the Stern Behavior Review fully in Scott Stapp mode. All right.
Starring James Mostyn.
Mostyn. Mostyn. All right. Anyway, Disturbing Behavior. Synopsis is, the new kid in town stumbles across something sinister about the town's method of transforming its unruly teens into upstanding citizens.
Right.
Tim.
Yeah.
You want to kick things off with Disturbing Behavior?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what you have to say about this one. I'm actually really curious.
I think Disturbing Behavior is a... I think it's an underrated movie from this time period. But the issue is, I think it could be a lot better. I think there is a really, really good horror movie hiding in here. But it's a movie that, as well-paced as it is, it's too well-paced. Like, it goes by too fast because it feels like it's missing, like, 15 or 20 minutes.
And I should say that when I looked up IMDb trivia on this one,
mm-hmm.
like, 90% of the trivia is about how many test screenings and re-edits they had of this movie.
Yeah, I wish
so
I could...
So that says a lot.
Yeah. Because David Nutter, the director, who has gone on to have a very good career in television.
Yeah.
He does Game of Thrones all the time.
All the time.
Supernatural, he did. He got his... start on the X-Files, and this feels like, and I think I've read somewhere that like this is like a script for like an X-Files episode.
I believe it,
and that's not a knock against that. I'm fine with it. X-Files has some good episodes, but he got his break directing the X-Files, and I know he did Millennium too, which is the other Chris Carter show around
which
that
is day. Very cool.
Yeah, and But he, I've got an interview with him. I found an interview with
him. Oh, yeah. I want to hear this.
I wish I listened. Scream Factory put out a commentary, and I'm gonna listen to it at some point.
Yeah, I got to give it back to you first.
Yeah, but they put out a commentary with him. And it's really just got the commentary in the trailer. And then I think maybe some deleted scenes, but I'm not positive on that. But he, in an interview, said, he just said, like, he goes, this was a terrible experience for me because it was just, they wanted X-Files for teenagers. And I said, let's go do it. And then basically there was just a year and a half with writers, producers in the studio. It was the worst experience I ever had in my life. Mm. So I don't think he's done a movie since.
So there will be no Lego sequel for Disturbed Behavior.
No.
Okay.
No, which is fine. But no, this is... I
need to find Nick Stahl first.
Yeah. Yeah. But we talked a little bit about this. This is like a... this is like the... it's like a cast. It's like the Faculty, where it has a hip young cast. But this is like a cast of like... not so much the cool popular kids, but like the kids like I don't know, like art nerds would respect, or like
shit. No, I get it.
You know what I'm going for? Yeah.
Like oh, so it's like Urban Legend is art like nerds. Like the they're like the college town kids,
right?
Like the university town kids, right?
Right.
They're a little bit elitist and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a little bit obsessed with themselves and their own like personal gain.
Yes.
Then like the Faculty is kind of like a Midwest like high school, right? Because it takes place in Ohio, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that. And this one takes place on like the East Coast, and it kind of feels that way.
Yes.
You know, like kind of like a port town. Mm-hmm. Like that's exactly what it feels. So they, like geographically, I understand all of these groups. Yeah.
So yeah, this feels like the kids that the cool kids like.
Yeah.
Or like that, not the kids that are like too good. Like,
yeah. I get that.
Because this is a really fun cast too. But it's made up of a lot of character actors as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get the big flashy stars other than Katie Holmes. But, like, Jimmy Marsden's in it, Nick Stahl.
William Sadler.
Catherine Isabel from Ginger Snaps. Bill Sadler.
Who crushes it. I just want to throw it out there.
Bill Sadler is awesome.
His character's so cool to me.
He is over the line. And then I guess Ethan Embry's in it. That feels like the subplot that got completely cut out.
You can't tell me they brought in Ethan Embry for whatever is in that final movie.
Because it's just random flashbacks. Do we ever, in this cut of the movie, do we ever get an explanation for what happens?
He shot himself.
But
we don't know why.
Okay.
There's literally, like, all I could discern was there's a flash of him with a woman.
Yeah.
And then there's a flash of him saying something like, do you understand what it's like to have spiders in your brain or something like that? I got the feel. I got the vibe that he was, like, manic depressive or something. Like,
right.
Like, he was, like, unhinged, you know.
And I know there's a scene, I think there's a deleted scene, or there was talk of a scene I've read somewhere where, like, Jimmy Marsden, like, finds the same gun that his brother used to shoot himself. But I couldn't remember if him shooting himself was in the final movie. And, like, his mom walks in, and I'm like, hey, put that down.
Wow.
Yeah. So it seems like there was a lot more going on in this. But, yeah, no, it kind of is an X-Files movies for kids.
Yeah.
For young adults. And that's all right. It's a lot of fun. It's also self-referential, like these other two movies. All of these movies, none of them are. I don't think any of them are great, and I like The Faculty quite a bit, but they're all a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. To just sit down and watch. This one has more potential, I think, that it doesn't realize. I think the other two have kind of realized their potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Katie Holmes is my favorite character in this. Because Katie Holmes, I feel bad a little bit for Katie Holmes is completely miscast in this movie.
Yeah, but I was in love with her in this movie.
Yeah.
Tim.
I was in love with her in one of the music videos. Like they would always show her.
Yeah.
They would always show a clip where she like leans back on the car.
This is a real problem for me when I was, this is one of my early crushes, I think.
Yeah.
Katie Holmes. Yeah. In this movie.
Yeah, it has to be Disturbing Behavior with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan.
But she's kind of on the edge.
Yeah.
She's on this one. She's kind of a bad girl. She's not. But she says, she constantly says stuff like, yo, that's so razor.
Yeah. She says it a few times, too.
She says it a few times, and it never makes any sense. No. It's something about, like, throw acid on me or something. I don't remember what it
I don't remember.
There's a lot of, like, hip, edgy dialogue.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not really that
But then
hip.
No one actually ever used.
No one's ever said that. There is some stuff in, like, the first season of Buffy, too, where they, like, say things. I'm like, nobody's ever said that.
No.
Ever. Stop making...
Razor was never a thing.
Razor was never a thing.
No.
And it never caught on.
It was a phone.
It was a phone.
Yeah,
Do
there
you think
go.
They, yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah. They modeled, they named the phone after this movie.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, it's fun. It's like, it's got a little bit of Stepford Wives in it. It's the same thing that the Faculty is with. This one's more, maybe again, more geared at like the parents and parental control and kids rebelling against them than it is necessarily about the teachers. I like the scene a lot, actually, and it's kind of a long scene. They left all of that in there, where like Nick Stahl's introducing the different like classes and caste system.
It's
like,
actually really good.
It's really good. And
yeah.
Nick Stahl's really good in this.
Yeah, and his buddy, the guy who plays his UV.
Yeah, the pale guy.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
freaks with sneaks.
And Jimmy Marsden is like, he's like the dude, he's very good at playing the dude that's like a cool guy that like can get along with everybody.
No,
but
seriously.
Still be really relatable.
That's what's interesting about him is because like I would not have hung out with, I like Josh Hartnett and the Faculty. I would never have hung out with that person. I wouldn't have hung out with anybody in the Faculty.
Me neither.
Like Jimmy Marsden in Discerning Behavior, I would have hung out with that guy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I like this guy. He's a nice guy.
He's a good
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
And he's really good at playing that.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's good in this movie. It's a
James Marsden's just good. That's just
I like James. Yeah. If you like James Marsden.
Have you seen him in Sex Drive?
He's amazing in Sex Drive. James Marsden is James Marsden's been pretty good in anything I've ever seen him in.
Yeah, has he ever had a bad performance?
Yeah.
Never.
No. Uh-uh. This movie is no exception.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the ending as rushed as it is with how they're kind of like lemmings and stuff. I think that's kind of fun.
Also, much like the adult, like most of the adults in the Faculty wind up getting killed brutally. Like all the kids in this movie get killed brutally. Bill Sadler's like, fuck it! Like, just drives him off a cliff. Like, I look how James Marsden's like, maybe we can help him. And he's like, no! Just drives off a cliff. The look on Nikki's face.
Yeah, Bill Sadler has no time for any sort of planning.
The look on Nikki's face when they went over the cliff was just like the most, because she'd never seen this one.
Oh, no?
Somehow she missed this one.
What'd she think?
She liked it.
Yeah.
I don't think, she said, it's not my like top five of this era, so I really want to hear what her top five of this era would be.
Yeah, let me, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have her write in, yeah. But she liked it. But her look on her face during that part was just, oh my God, they just killed all these children. Yeah, it was pretty funny. Although Chug was a dick.
Yeah, I don't like Chug at all. And so good on that actor for her play, but he's a scumbag.
And I think he was a scumbag before this all happened, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I get the vibe. Like, I don't think he was ever a nice guy.
Yeah. What are the Blue Ribbons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Blue Ribbons, that's kind of fun.
It's sweet.
Yeah. And there's that scene with the girl, too.
The
blonde girl, where she starts drilling her head against the mirror. She's really good in that scene.
It's freaky, too.
It is kind of freaky.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, bad, bad. Yeah.
So, yeah, it plays around with a lot of themes from this year, that era of kind of like, well... You want to. It's almost a funny indictment of the parents.
Yeah, kind of.
This time, I was like, it's like you don't actually want to. Like the parents in this movie don't actually want to raise the kids.
No, they want somebody else.
They just totally want like some easy fix
for
everything.
It's true.
They don't want to deal with like teenagers.
Well, and this is the time when it was like, let's medicate our children like crazy.
Medicate our children. I read about like the V. You remember the V chip?
Yeah.
In the TV.
Yep.
Like, that would turn off anything bad.
Yep.
In case you're running around. So basically, you could just, sit your child, just let your kid go nuts with TV.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, I will say, well, that scene, what I find interesting about the scene with the blonde girl visiting him at home or whatever, mm-hmm. is it starts off super titillating. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
I like her.
Oh, yeah, there's nudity in this one. Yeah.
There is, yeah. And I like, you're sitting there and you're like, you kind of feel like James Marsden. You're like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like,
yeah.
Okay, sweet. And then it becomes like horrific.
Right.
Like, so it takes sex and turns it into like this nasty, evil, vile thing, which is exactly what's happening to these kids.
Yes.
Which I find kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like that. Like, they take something that should be like an enjoyable teenage experience and ruin it.
Yeah, and and there is a lot of cool. There is some cool stuff floating around in this movie. Like, I mean, like, yeah, you want your kids not to do anything bad.
Sure.
I'm not a parent, but I mean, I can probably, I mean, I can figure it out. You don't want your kids to do anything, but your kids are going to fuck up at some point.
Well, and I think this is a nice
and
way
not
to
fuck up, but yeah, high school kids have urges.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think this movie does a good job of showing like sometimes repressing your kid is
the worst
possible thing you can do.
Yeah,
because then they turn into Chug, like serial rapist Chug. Yeah. So, be honest with your kids and don't let the TV babysit them, please.
Yes, parenting advice from the horror movie yearbook.
From David Nutter.
So there's a lot of there's interesting stuff going on in this movie. I just wish they had a little bit more time.
I get that. I don't think it fully. It probably has a lot to do with that. It would be my guess. I don't think it fully. It's a fully realized vision, mm-hmm. and I think it could have been instead of being more of one of the forgotten gems of this area. And it is a gem. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But instead of being a forgotten gem, it could have been like way up.
I agree.
Like faculty level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Or better even. Who knows? So. But I really do enjoy. I enjoyed all three of these movies.
Me too.
I think for me, The Faculty is the best movie of the bunch mm-hmm. out of the three. I think it's the most fully realized story and vision from beginning to end. It's the most satisfying experience. Then I would go Disturbing Behavior purely because there's a lot of interesting stuff under the surface.
I was going to say, yeah. Thematically, Disturbing Behavior is the most interesting.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. And then I would say that Urban Legend is just kind of fun. And yeah, exactly. So all worth checking out.
Urban Legend is... I get one of the best examples of the Scream ripoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I like it better than the I Know What You Did Last Summer movies.
Sure.
I like Valentine better, but I would probably say, I wouldn't argue with anybody that said Urban Legend is better. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
I'm glad
we took a trip back to 98. Now we're, of course, back in 2017, which.
We are back.
Yeah, we're here again.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it, but we're here. if we could just go back to... Never mind. I'm not going to go into what I was doing. You know it's bad when I almost start saying things that I shouldn't say on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, you know me. I keep my mouth shut about stuff. But anyway.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure. Once again, please, please, please send us feedback. We're on facebook.com/horrormovieyearbook. We're on Twitter at @HMYearbook. You can check us out at horrormovieyearbook.com. You can find a bunch of wonderful Photoshops that Tim has created for us, as well as all of our episodes.
I've got lazy doing.
That's okay. Yeah. You're good.
a nice little archive.
Right.
Yeah.
You can also email us, horrormovieyearbook@gmail.com. We are on iTunes, of course. That's probably how you found us and are listening to us right now. Please rate and review the show. It really does help us to get some more visibility on our show and help us infect more people's ears like the parasites in the faculty. So dive right in. Big thanks to John Morrell, of course, as always, for our music at the start of the show. And Tim, I do believe that this was my pick.
Oh, was this you?
This was my pick this time.
Okay.
So I'm putting you on the spot.
Real quick, it was Zdeko versus Kyoko is on Shudder now. Everybody, please go watch it.
Do yourself a favor.
Because it's fun.
Check this thing out.
Okay, so let's, real quick here. We've got a couple minutes, right?
Yeah, I think so.
We ran pretty short this week. A nice little balance from last week's marathon.
Yeah, we want to apologize for how long. But it was 1987. So
we've done 87. So mm-hmm. 80s, 70s, 90s. 2016 doesn't really count, 10s. 2009, 76. So we did 90 again. So I think we've got to do a 2000s, right? I think we're gonna jump to the 2000s.
Oh man!
All right, random.
Do you want to choose now or
random number generator? Yeah, we're gonna choose on air. This is gonna be exciting.
You're going random then. Like you're not making an educated pick. You're just gonna go random.
I think there's one thing you know about me. I make nothing educated.
That's okay. I just spit out 98 last time. So
2000. To 2008, because we did 2009, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
2002.
The
year I graduated from high school.
Oh, boy. What the hell came out in 2002?
Do you know what came out in
2002? I don't. Resident Evil, I think?
No, a movie that the trailer is sitting right behind me.
We can't do it.
We're not doing that.
No. We can't do fear.com.
We're not going to do fear.com.
We'll never do fear.com. Because we celebrate Fear.com every Friday.
We celebrate Fear.com every Friday. So here's what we're looking at here. Oh, my God. This is kind of a good year.
Is it really?
Well, we got The Ring.
Okay.
Which might be a good idea to do.
Sure.
We got The Ring. Oh, wait. Maybe this is, I don't know why I said this is a good year. And then the second movie is Ghost Ship.
The opening segment of that movie is like the best thing.
Dog Soldiers.
Ooh,
I think we should do Dog
that'll
Soldiers.
That'll give me an excuse to buy the Blu-ray.
Yep. Horror. 28 Days Later, Dark Water.
Oh, man.
Eight-Legged Freaks.
Dark Water with Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah.
The one that Fangoria likes to celebrate on
Fangoria. How are you celebrating?
Happy anniversary, Dark Water.
Yeah, one time at Fangoria.com. Acted like people were like breaking out their DVDs for Dark Water.
It's really weird.
So, Eight-Legged Freaks, which is kind of fun, but I don't necessarily think we need to do that. Cabin Fever, Jew on the Grudge.
Okay.
Fear.com. May. Resident Evil. Mothman Prophecies. Best movie of all time, Blade 2.
Mm.
Death Watch. Queen of the Damned. The Eye.
Oh, the Aaliyah.
Resurrection. Halloween Resurrection.
Nope.
Three Extremes. Sorry. Wishmaster. The Prophecy. Bubba Hotep.
Oh, man.
Below. Yeah, this is all right.
Yeah, it's not a bad year. We won't pick movies right now.
No.
But we will pick them.
Red Dragon.
My guess is, knowing our current trend, we'll probably have all three of them picked by the time I walk out this front door.
Oh, God. You remember They? Wes Craven had his name on They?
Oh, yeah. Isn't it about bugs or something?
Bugs are like, I can't remember. Something that whispered.
I don't think it's great.
It's not.
Oh,
stars,
man.
Mark Blucas and Ethan Embry.
There you go.
No Josh Jackson.
Good stuff, Tim.
Thanks.
I like it. 2002 it is.
2002.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed our trip back to 1998, and we hope you will join us for our next trip when we go to 2002. Until then, we'll see you.
Bye-bye, man and woman.